Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Have you ever wondered why we are all so judgmental? It's true. We can't drive down the road, go to a public place, visit a new city, or even do our favorite pastimes without passing judgment on others. Given the fact that we deeply resent being falsely judged, why do you suppose that we are so critical of other people? Don't we recognize our own hypocrisy? In today's podcast and post, we see beyond the admonition, do not judge. Join me now as we explore the only countermeasure powerful enough to free us into a life of peace and acceptance. I'm talking about ophthalmological surgery. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm so glad to have you here. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things that I do, just like you. Welcome to the program, and I want to say thank you to those of you who are sharing this podcast with others. Thank you to those of you who forward your newsletter, Winder's Windshield, to others. I hope that you're keeping in mind people as you listen to this. You may not realize it, but as you go through podcasts and posts, people will emerge in your thinking, and that's not incidental. When somebody pops into your mind and you think this might be something they could appreciate or they need to hear, I hope that you take action, take and follow that divine impulse and serve somebody. Perhaps it will start a great conversation, and who knows where it will lead. I know a lot of you are doing that, and I want to say thank you. I'm glad to have you here. Today, folks, we are in the midst of a series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're taking it piece by piece, and today we are looking at that part of the sermon where Jesus says, do not judge. The title of today's podcast, number 205, is called When Judgment Becomes Hypocrisy. When Judgment Becomes Hypocrisy. Podcast number 205. Let's just get started. Now, folks, when I think about the world, and I like to tell my family and friends that I've decoded the world. and that may not be entirely true, but I think I have a lot. I figured a lot of it out. And one of the things that I've noticed is that our default mode, the place where we come to the world, is disintegration. Right? We come to the world, our default mode is disintegration. We go through life seeing everything as separate rather than connected or integrated, right? In our modern world, this really means that most of us operate within our intellectual center, the mind center, right? When you think of the human life, we have three key centers: the gut, the body, right? We have the heart center, and we have the intellect, the mind center. And when we don't connect and work through all three centers in balance, we become disintegrated, right? And most of our world is very much the head center. We live in an intellectual, science-based, rational, figure-out-it type of environment. Our minds chop everything up into small, manageable bits that we can control, we can define, we can label, we can count. And when we do this, our ego is fed. Our ego is deeply satisfied. Why? Because if I can chop you up and make you into little pieces, so to speak, if I can break up the world into fragments instead of integrated whole, then I can have power over it. That's the ego's function, right? So making discerning observations in the world is really a necessary and valuable part of our life. I am not throwing the intellect under the bus. I'm not throwing rationality out or reason out of the equation. When I did the Enneagram, I am a head with a head wing. I'm a 7 with a 5. So, I'm very biased into the head space, and I have to work hard to move into the heart and the gut space, right? See, our judgment is a good thing, and it helps us discern not just right from wrong, good from bad, but better from best, right? It's a way of comparing, labeling, contrasting, counting, categorizing, analyzing. It's how we pick teams and make decisions and navigate the world. There's a lot of that that's required and necessary, and people who lack that skill often struggle to compete in the marketplace. However, this very good thing turns rotten once we see everything and everybody as distinct from ourselves. This is the disintegration that I'm talking about, okay? Not integrated, disintegrated, right? So it was the same way with the audience with Jesus when they heard the Sermon on the Mount. People don't really change and evolve that much. We've had some major advances in consciousness over the centuries. But for the most part, people enter the world disintegrated. The first half of your life you spend judging and critiquing, and the second half you kind of figure out that, wow, I'm learning a lot more from all these people that I used to cut down. And this is why Jesus counsels his audience with this very vivid analogy, metaphor. It's this great picture. And it seems very simple and obvious. But when we try and correct ourselves, when we try and make a change, we immediately begin to see just how big this problem really is. What am I talking about? Well, let's read Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6, okay? Judge not, that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearl before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Now, that is an amazing passage. Like all of these passages in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is really getting at the deeper heart level of what's going on. This analogy I've been playing with for the last couple weeks, and I've been talking with my kids who are teenagers, and I said, anytime you see me make a judgment, I want you to call me a log eye, a fence post eye, a plank eye, a railroad tie eye. just point out that I'm being critical when I shouldn't be. The plank eye game is something that will expose just how deeply this is. It's powerful. Now, the Greek word in this, krino, which we interpret as judge, has multiple meanings. Meaning it's not just krino means judge. It's important to know that this has multiple interpretations, because it's through all the variants of this word krino that the bigger message kind of emerges. Krino means to decide, to prefer, to evaluate, to hold a view, to make a legal decision, to condemn, to rule, to judge. And so, therefore, Jesus' admonition to not judge really means to withhold any conclusions or determinations we might make about others, at least at first. Now, why do I say that? Well, based on verse 6, that last verse about the pigs and the dogs, I think this really connotes the wisdom of not prejudging people. Now, once a person's true colors are really known, Jesus offers an alternative plan for that. But that's why that last piece is in there. You see, the larger teaching kind of emerges through this analogy of performing ophthalmological surgery on someone, picking the speck out of your brother's eye, while having a fence post in our own eye, a plank, a log. See, that thing that we criticize in another is really a small thing in the grand scale of life. Right? The way that person's driving, the way that person is dressed, the way that person acts, their voice, the whatever it is that's annoying you, that you're judging, their performance, their skill level, whatever it is that you're looking at. You know, they're not playing golf fast enough to play, you know, so you have to play through and miss a hole, right? There's something there that you just can't seem to get over, right? It's a huge problem for you, but it's, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small problem. But you see, it is a huge problem on the inside of you and me. It's too close for us to see. We focus on our differences and miss sharing in our similarities. I mean, think about a football game where you really want to crush the Titans or the opposite team. You know, you have the blue jersey, the opposite team has the yellow jersey, and you're saying, kill them, destroy them, we hate them, you know. And nobody on the field is more like your son or daughter who's playing than the team with the yellow jersey. Right? They're the most similar to you on the other side of the bleachers, and yet you focus on the one difference, the jersey. See, we divide ourselves over stupid things, when in actuality, we are all very interconnected. And this is Jesus' real point. He shows us how our shared connection, it works by pointing out that with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm going to go a little deeper into this. You see, what we do to others, we do to ourselves. It's not a separate payback, right? It's not the same thing as if you treat them a certain way, one day God is going to treat you a certain way, or it's going to come back to you. What he's saying is that it's the actual same motion of hypocritical judgment. Let me explain this. See, the irony is that none of us want to see ourselves as hypocrites, do we? Like, if someone calls you a hypocrite, you'd be like, what? What are you talking about? I am not a hypocrite. Like, you would be deeply offended. Yet we daily prove ourselves to be hypocritical in the countless ways that our self-centered behavior kind of emerges. I mean, Jesus points out that the krima, the Greek word krima, which means the verdict, the condemnation, the judgment, the decision that we use on others will be krino, evaluated, condemned, ruled, held against us, decided against us. See, so the thing that we use on them is used on us. It's the same thing, right? Again, what we send out is one and the same as what we give. Condemning another is to condemn ourselves. See, it's not God condemning us, it's us. See, the way out is just as easy. See, Jesus is offering this path of liberation. It's simply withhold judgment and it's going to be withheld on you. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it. By first attending to our own hypocritical judgment, which is the log in our own eye, the big log in our eye, we can incrementally gain the power to lay it down and see others as ourself. Right? This is the movement towards integration. This is the golden rule. This is the one thing that if all religions boiled everything down to one major spiritual principle, this is it. While we are not others, we are also not other than the others either. See, only the mature who do soul work can practice living from this place. Now, you can't really live there all the time. I've yet to meet a person who can perfectly remove all judgment from their life. You know, removing our log is not easy. It's really, really hard. But once we know the painful path, we can gain a tremendous understanding for the transformation process that's taking place in other people. You realize when how hard it is to take your log out and how long it takes and how much effort. So that when you see somebody being critical, you have more allowance, more grace towards them. See, patient, judgment-withholding people get along really well with each other. I don't know if you know that. But if you've ever been surrounded by mature, spiritually whole people who really take care of their souls, they are patient, they withhold judgment, and they really do get along well. Non-judgment creates an environment where all people at all ages and stages can grow and gain understanding on their own pace and learn from each other without being torn apart and devoured. But let's face it, not everyone has evolved or has an elevated consciousness like that, right? You might be surrounded by family or friends or a work environment or a community that is anything but evolved. You may have only seen low consciousness your whole life. Now, the majority of our world lives under the anesthesia of very low conscious awareness. This is our default mode of disintegration. We're asleep, we're numb, we're under anesthesia, as I like to say. And such people care very little for their soul. And that's because they're completely out of tune. They're out of touch with their soul. And like a toddler, they're just distracted with the world. Ooh, I want that. I want that. This is going to satisfy this craving, this comfort, this pleasure, this thing. They're just all about, give me the next bottle to suckle on. And such people will not withhold judgment on you. Pay attention. If you're surrounded by low conscious people, they will devour you. This is why Jesus offers this last part of the passage. And for a long time, I always thought that little nugget was just thrown in there. It seemed disconnected until I could put this together. You see, when he says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you or devour you, some translations say. You see, dogs have no respect for the sacred work you are doing. And they have no respect for the soul work that you are doing by removing your plank. Pigs don't value such pearls. They have no need for them. They're just going to squish them into the mud. Now, while God sees each of us and values us, like we saw last week's post, you're valued by God. Are you not more valuable than these? When he's talking about birds and flowers, right? We saw that God values us. But some people have no regard for God or goodness or other people or the cosmos or the earth or anything. They just go around in their own little bubble. They park in handicapped spots. They drive crazy. They throw their trash out the window. They could care less about their impact on others, right? This is low conscious infants. These are people in anesthesia. You know, see, so while Jesus teaches us to withhold judgment at first, he clearly recognizes that some people will reveal themselves to be really unworthy of the grace and patience that we are affording them. Now, the solution is not retaliation. Like he covered this several passages ago, right? In the whole passage on retaliation. So he's not saying act like them and just, you know, disregard them. This path that he's offering, you know, is liberation, right? The solution is to not give the holy or throw the pearl. This means only to withdraw or to let it go. Just let it go. Don't engage with a person who's selfishly behaving as a dog or a pig. Don't give them you. Don't give them access to your life, the precious part of your life. You can withhold your judgment and just recognize that this is a person who's in pain and who's confused and who's disintegrated and has yet to learn what you've discovered. You need to just simply pull back and give them the space to discover that. Don't give them the precious part of you. And this includes family members. Some of you put up with horrible abuse because that's my mom, or that's my dad, or that's my brother, or that's my sister, or that's my cousin. Because we're family, we have to put up with horrible people who treat you horribly. That is not the case. When he says, do not give to dogs what is holy, that includes a family member if they are acting as a dog. Simply be friendly, remain patient, remain respectful, but offer nothing of value and offer nothing of yourself. If they really value you and want to go deeper with you, then they will initiate that. Until that, simply hold that in a sacred, safe place. Because if you give it away, if you give you away to a dog or a pig, like it says in verse 6, they will attack you and devour you. Proverbs 9:7 says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs an injury. Right? So you know people who don't function at higher levels of awareness. And if you keep trying to correct them all the time, fix it, take issue, right? Maybe you're one of those people that just can't let it go. Then guess what? You're not hurting them, but you get the abuse. You get the injury, says the proverb. Think about it. Jesus is offering a path for you to live at peace. When you engage with somebody who will devour you, you simply offer yourself to be hurt. If you can simply pull back and recognize who and how they're acting in a disintegrated way, you can still be loving and kind and respectful without giving them the best part of yourself that will be hurt. You save yourself tons of stress and agony, pain. You see, by acting this way, we create healthy space between those who are not self-aware and those who are. And you can give yourself away to those who are self-aware, who would value you, who would treasure your pearl, who will walk with you. And together you'll grow bigger, stronger, wider. Right? This is the path. Those most trapped in their pain, their suffering, their confusion, they're the most likely to hurt you. Because they're the most disintegrated. They see everything in pieces. They don't see anything in a whole. So they think if they treat you a certain way, it doesn't affect them. They haven't realized this teaching that I'm bringing to you. And Jesus has shared with us that what you do to them, you're doing to yourself. See, the venom that they use on everybody in self-defense is just poisoning them. They don't realize it. They're trapped in a catch-22. And you can see that because you too were trapped. And so now you have compassion. See, like an injured animal that's caught in a fence, you're trying to help, but that injured deer is going to ram you with his horns. That dog that's hurt is going to bite you. Those who possess the most self-awareness, who have really taken the soul work and the care to take the log out of their own eye, understand that they are not unlike those trapped in their pain and confusion. Right? It's not that you can sit there and hold judgment on them anymore because you know you too were once trapped in your pain, in your confusion. We should create only enough space to avoid being attacked. You see, you can't get too close to the deer or the horns will get you. Get too close to the dog and the teeth will get you. So we should create only enough space to avoid being hurt. But we hold the pearls in plain sight. We live in faith and righteousness in hopes of inspiring change. See, this is how it works. This is what the wisdom of Jesus is offering. But it's the judging mind. Back to that judging critical mind, which is a wonderful aspect of an integrated and aware soul. It is this repository of data that empowers us to live peacefully and successfully in the world. But if our judging mind dominates our life, if it displaces our heart and our body centers, we will never see others as ourself. We too will live disintegrated. And this is to live upo under krita, mask. Upo krita under a mask is the Greek word for hypocrite. It's a false self. The hypocritical judging self is the false self. And this is what we see in the world is most people are living under a mask. Most people bring a persona and not their real self. Why? They don't even know who they really are. They've been putting on masks ever since they were little. It started in grade school. I'm a winder. And then it was in junior high. I became a Mustang in high school. And I was a Bruin. I was a college student. I was a this major, and then I got out and got a job, and then I was defined by that corporation or that denomination or my religion, right? Some institution gave me a name and an identity, and I didn't realize that the call out, the Lazarus call to wake up, was to come forth and find my real name found in God. Right? This is why people are disintegrated. We don't know who we really are. deep down at the bottom of it, we are beloved. And so the corrective to a proud, judgmental living is to be meek. That's it. Meek. Now, today's passage is that text, this, the chiastic structure. If you remember, the Beatitudes at the beginning in chapter 5 are all explained in all these little nuggets. And so today's passage explains, blessed are the meek. And the result of apprehending and applying this teaching is that we shall inherit the earth, right? And this means that Jesus is offering a strategy to navigate the world in such a way that we can live and grow and serve the world without being harmed by the egos and the power plays that affect the weaker soul. Now that is wisdom that we can all trust. It's wisdom we can all really appreciate, because how often do we go out in the world and get shredded to pieces? We get used and then used up and then thrown away. If you could avoid all of that and play above the net, so to speak, wouldn't you want to? Well, today's wisdom tells us how. Withholding judgment is a genuine path to personal freedom. It's a path to peace and integration. The question for all of us is whether we can see beyond the log in our own eye. Hi, it's Kevin Winder. And did you know coaching is not just for athletic performance anymore? The world is learning how we learn from one another, and life coaching is at the center of this transformation. We used to just call it pastoral care, but now coaching is multidimensional. Did you realize that 90% of coaching operates on the principle that if you are able to do more, accomplish more, or have more, then you will get to be more? Well, that's why I'm the uncoach. Contrary to the world, our doing doesn't create our being. Instead, it's our being that creates our doing. Uncoaching is then counterintuitive. You can always have anything you think you want by ascending or climbing or striving. But you can only have what you really want by first descending, emptying, and waking up to who you really are. So if your life is stuck, plateaued, or just really confusing, then contact me today. I never charge for coaching, but I have a limited amount of space. So if you want to go deeper for the sake of rising up, then contact me, the uncoach, at kevinwinder.com.